So we've been talking about being thoughtless vocal witnesses for Jesus. And part of that being a thoughtless vocal witness is having certain core values. We have core values in other areas. When we drive in a certain way to be safe. When we study in a certain area because that's the best. We're honest because that's a core value. We're kind. We're faithful in our marriages. All those are core values. We're going to talk today about core vocal witnessing values. You know, it's like muscle memory. If you do something for a week or so, it works in like a certain kind of exercise. Or a if there's a, let's say, a step in your house and you always trip over it, after about a week, your mind will have adjusted to that and you'll automatically step up on that step. I watch little kids that way. And even after 2 or 3 days, they know how to walk around the table instead of banging into it. They get that muscle memory. That's what we want with core values, that they're just such a part of us. We're thoughtless about them, but they do drive us on. So let's pray about it and then get into them. Dear Jesus, that's who we want to be. We want to be core value people for you. We want to just have such a center to our lives that's what drives us on. That's what shapes us so that we can be those thoughtless vocal witnesses for you. We have the name of that person in mind. And each time when we look at these values, we're going to have that person's name before us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Well, we want to start with a verse here that is very important to us in terms of the core values. Paul was talking to a new church in the city of Corinth, and there was lots of stuff going on, and people weren't sure what was the truth and what wasn't, and who should be speaking and who wasn't, and there was a lot of confusion. And one of the things he said was in chapter 14, verse 8, he said, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? You know, if it kind of wavers or something, that's what those core values are for us. They are us giving, they are giving to us a clear message, and through us, they're giving a clear message to others. So let's get right into those core values because they're so crucial. The first one, you say, come on, Ren. Not everybody believes this. God's word is true. When you know that in your heart, that's going to propel you into action. There's nothing that can convince me that God's word isn't true. I read articles every time there's a Christian holiday, they come out with new evidence that Jesus had an affair, or that Jesus wasn't God, or that there were other Jesus around, or that God didn't create the world, all that kind of stuff. I just don't believe it. I believe from beginning to end, God's word is true. Think of what it says in Psalm 12, verse 6. The word of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. They refine gold and they do it over and over. That's how pure God's word is, even more pure. Or John 17:17, where Jesus said, praying to the Father for us, his vocal witnesses, and says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And when you go out with that vocal witness, people can throw rocks at it. They can say it's not true. And you know, that's muscle memory. It doesn't change thoughtlessly. God's word is true. That's the trumpet that sounds through you. And just a side point there, remember that you don't have to prove the Bible is true. When somebody says, I don't believe it, just ask them, what do you think is the main teaching of the Bible? And then, no matter what they say, you say, I'm so thankful because here's what the Bible really teaches. And then you teach them about grace. Another core truth, God wants everyone forgiven and free. Listen, Isaiah 55, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. There are people out there who are yearning to get rid of their burden of sin. It's a harvest. Hebrews 7:26, therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through Him. I just look out at the world and I think every person I see is a person God wants to be saved. That's why my personal mission is to get to know the spiritual condition of every person I meet. Because I, along with Jesus, I want them to be saved. Core value number two, God wants everyone forgiven and free. When you believe that, you don't have to doubt about witnessing for Him to anyone. A third core witness, God punishes misbelievers. We've really got to keep this in mind. You know what I hear a lot about today? God's love. God's love. As if nothing else matters. God's love is great, but God is also just. Listen to this verse from Exodus 34. Moses, God's leader, talked to God and said, "Let me really understand who you are." And then we read this. And God passed in front of Moses proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin." That's the God we go to present. Yet, this is our God as well. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Think of what Paul says also in 2 Thessalonians. These are sober words, aren't they? 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, and 9. This is a church that just existed for about 3 months. And Paul is commending them for their faith. And they had a lot of opposition. Paul is saying, you know what? He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These are hard words. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. People you know right now, that's about them. That God forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet He punishes the wicked. And He punishes them with everlasting destruction and being shut out from His presence. How true it is that God's word is true. God wants everyone forgiven. But it's also a core value that God punishes misbelievers. Another core value, God provides the one way to forgiveness. I want to say at this point in our studies together, I don't think there is any more core value importance than this. People can have questions about the Bible not being true. People can argue about God wanting everybody saved, all that stuff. People can even have questions about God punishing unbelievers. But you can never doubt this. This is the heart of our life. God provides one way to forgiveness. You know how you can tell this is the crucial one? Because it's being attacked so strongly. Everyone is attacking it and saying there are other ways to forgiveness. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is God's gift. And 1 Corinthians 12:3, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. There's only one way, the Spirit of Jesus. There are so many other verses that we studied that I didn't repeat them here. You know the one in Acts chapter 4:12, there is no other name given under heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is only one mediator between God and people. But this is one of our core values. There is only one way. Why would you be a vocal witness if there are other ways? Why would Jesus have suffered so terribly if there were other ways? Why would God have given His only Son? Why would the Holy Spirit come and work in people's hearts if there were other ways? Core value, center core value, God provides the one way of forgiveness. then right following that, listen to this. Isn't this sweet? God uses people to lead others to Him. Remember we studied that? Proverbs 4 verse 30, look it up. Daniel 12 verse 3, look it up. 1 Corinthians 9, 22, look it up. The last verse in James' letter, look it up. All of those, God uses people to lead others to Him. Look at this one. Acts 16, 14. Paul had gone, he was actually out by a riverbank, and he was teaching because he wasn't welcome in the religious place. He was by the riverbank and he's teaching, and this woman believed it. She had a lot of money. She had a good life. Why would she believe the gospel? Acts 16, 14. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. I'm sure the Lord could have used somebody else. I'm sure the Lord could have done it another way. God can do anything. But when Paul was speaking, the Lord opened her heart. I've had that experience, and I hope you have. I certainly hope you will have. That God will lead you to lead others to Him. What a thrill to realize that while you're talking, the Lord is opening that person's heart. After you have that, you don't want anything else. And then think about Romans 10, 14. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? All those people around you, how are they going to hear about sin and salvation and about living for Jesus Christ if you don't talk to them? Core value, God uses people. Cross out the word people there. Put your own name in there. God uses Ren to lead others to Him. Another core value. Vocal witnessing is different from the gift of evangelism. This is very important. Because people will say, well, I just don't have that gift. What gift? The gift of being a vocal witness? The gift of being able to tell people that you are saved? The gift of being able to comfort people with the joy that Jesus gives. There is a gift of evangelism. We see it in the people who lead the Crusades. We see it in pastors in certain churches. They preach and people respond. But that's different from vocal witnessing. Certain ones are given certain gifts. That's true all through Scripture. Certain people have certain gifts to heal. Certain people have certain gifts of prophecy. Certain people have certain gifts to do all sorts of things. And certain people have the gift of evangelism. But then there, every person is called to be a vocal witness for Jesus. Acts 1:8 again. And you shall be my witnesses. That's pretty clear and we've studied it a lot. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's what we're doing here. Remember that other core witness that God uses people to lead others to Him? That's you. And now Peter says, when God is using you, be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have. A lot of times we feel like we're living in a hopeless world, the way people live. It's like there's no tomorrow, no future. And we have a hope. We know we're not going around the circle. We're going toward an appointed goal. Someday if we die before Jesus comes back, to be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be home with the Lord. And if we're here when He comes back, He'll take us up with Him. But we have that hope all the time. Nothing can overcome us. Now, you have to be prepared to give that hope. Every person is called to be a vocal witness. Some are given the gift of evangelism. Core value number 7. We're going to go up to 9 here. I'm glad it's not 10 because then you would think I just made 10 to have 10 because that's a special number. We'll just go to 9. But number 7 is this. The results are not our responsibility. Okay, can we keep that in mind? Because sometimes we feel, well, I went out and I shared Jesus and they didn't believe, so I guess I shouldn't do that. And, oh, no. We're all called to be vocal witnesses. Some have the gift of evangelism. They can stand up and speak. They can bring thousands to the Lord. I'm not sure I have that gift or not. I know I've been called to be a vocal witness. And I preach many times and I give an invitation and sometimes people come and sometimes not. Sometimes they respond. But I see those who have the gift of evangelism, something flows through them and others are brought to the Lord. Anyway, the results are not our responsibility. Deuteronomy 29:29, good verse to memorize. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law or of the Bible. That's the key. I don't try to figure out what's going on in God's mind. He has shown me in the Bible what He wants me to know about Him, and that's what I'll follow. The things revealed belong to us. We know that He has a heart for the lost. We know He wants the whole world to be saved. We know that He gives His gift of evangelism to some. We know that He gives the call to be a vocal witness to every one of us. Every one of us. And what is the result? Well, sometimes we see people believe, sometimes not. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. He has revealed loud and clear in all capital letters what we are to do. We're not to try to figure out His mind. He has told us everything that we have to know in the Bible. We go by that. And that's why we're doing this course together. Because He has told us we are called to be those vocal witnesses. The results, we'll leave that in His hands. Core value number 8, vocal witnessing is a matter of obedience. You know, people say, well, that's not my thing. Or I serve the Lord in other ways. Or I get scared. Or I'm too busy. Or I haven't been trained. It all comes down to one thing. Obedience. Are we going to obey His command or not? Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. The command there is make disciples. And Paul, when he looked back in his life, about how all he had experienced in being a vocal witness for Jesus, he said, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. If he had not spoken for Jesus, that would have been disobedience, not obedience. Are you being obedient? I mean, we can call it everything else. But if you're not doing it, you're not being obedient. Core value. And then the last one, vocal witnessing is not a specialized activity. This should be old hat to us by this time, right? We talked about that all the time. Evangel living, we call it. Not an ism, something we do on a Thursday night. Matthew 28:20, as you are going, make disciples. Colossians 4:5-6, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. That's us. You and me, vocal witness, day by day. It's not a specialized activity. We don't get dressed in a certain way and talk in a certain tone of voice and look a certain way and use certain words. We're just ourselves, day after day after day, and letting Jesus flow through us in our vocal witness. You know, boxing, they say, is an art. You have to learn how to stand a certain way. You have to duck in a certain way, when to go forward, when to come back. That's a science. And one of the ways they practice in that science is shadow boxing. You see them on TV, they're in a ring. There's nobody in the ring with them. They're doing all the moves. They're using all the things that they were taught. They're just going through it so that they can get better at it. And there's another kind of fighting. It's called street fighting. That's not very scientific. You just get out there and you're trying to save your life. You're just pounding away. You're doing whatever you can to beat the other guy. Now, studying all about being a vocal witness and not doing it is shadow boxing. We got all the science, but we're really not in contact with anybody. And going out there to be a witness without being ready and without learning the best way to do it without having core values and being set, that's like street fighting. We can make a mess out of it. We're not really helping. What we have to do is put them together. Let the science that we learn in a course like this affect the way we do the street fighting, and let the energy and the urgency of being out there in contact with real people, let that influence the science of our boxing, the science of our preparation. So we study these things. And I hope it's just not shadow boxing. I hope we're not like the people in that ad that sit at a table and talk about others. Let those core values drive us out to be vocal witnesses for our Jesus.